There's a place that our children go that many parents have never been. There is a place where many of our children spend a lot of their time and parents have never wandered in. It's called cyberspace. We need to get into their cyberspace.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm Ruthie J., your host, and we've been going down this list of 30 imperatives to parenting. If you missed any of the points so far, or you want to hear the program that we summarized all 30 in, find that online at parentingonpurpose.org. Today, we're tackling number 24, getting into your child's cyberspace. It's kind of like another world.
It's a foreign world to many parents. I mean, parents know some of it, but somehow, parents have decided there's this place that they will allow their children to go that they will never go to. Mm-hmm. Somehow they've given them, I don't know that it's a freedom. I don't even think we've thought about it. I don't even think we think about the kinds of people that are communicating with our children. It's absolutely bizarre. The kinds of people perhaps that we would never let in our house. We would never let somebody knock on the door and say, hey, you don't know me, but can I sit in your child's bedroom and talk to them for a while? Mm-hmm. We would never let that happen. And yet our children are in a world that we must jump in. And I got to say to you, you being seriously younger than me, it baffles me that parents don't jump in that world. It baffles me that parents have given their young children under 18 that much, freedom's not even the right word, that much scary responsibility. Why do you think that?
You know what? Honestly, I've heard even moms say, you know, I trust my kid, which is funny because your illustration of would you trust your child dropping them off in the middle of a very busy city and you don't know anything about the city or anyone there and you drop them off in the middle? That's kind of like giving them full permission to be online. It is a crazy world.
Those are the parents that come talk to us and say, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe they're doing this. I can't believe they're sexting. Mm-hmm. I can't believe. What we're saying is I'm giving you an adult responsibility, and yet we know from research that over 50%, one said 52%, of American males say in the past 90 days they have clicked on pornography.
Wow.
In a blind study. And so obviously adult males have a very difficult time handling this. It's the plague of the university campus today. Mm-hmm. And so we're saying, I trust my child with this weapon, with this pollutant that adults can't even handle well. Let's stop and just admit, the cyber world is awesome. I can do research in a second. I can hear from my kids in a millisecond. When my kids were in college, I just was able to talk to them all the time. Texting is awesome. I love texting. I love to be in a meeting and get a text from my wife, Rosemary. It's mm-hmm. wonderful. Where, you know, just a question, I can text back, no, I'm going to be 10 minutes late to dinner or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But also with that wonderful thing, it's like, you know, I guess guns are good. Let me rephrase that. Guns are great. Guns done right are great, but guns can also be a horrible weapon. Mm-hmm. The cyber world is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing to all of us. But also with that comes a pollutant. And it's not that I don't trust my child. I understand the immaturity of my child, and I don't trust who's targeting my child. Mm-hmm. I need to know.
I think we really have to be convinced that our kids are actually getting targeted. And it could be from outsiders. It could be from marketers. It could be from adults posing as kids. It could even just be their own peers. There's so much that goes on that if you don't have your finger on the pulse, you're going to miss it.
Well, why would we even doubt that our children are being targeted? I mean,
have we not
heard enough news? Have we not heard enough reports? Have we not heard?
We don't think it happened to us.
Yeah. So your child is, and this is interesting here, but your child is dating somebody and says they want privacy. So can we just go sit in my bedroom? First of all, it baffles me how many parents say okay to that.
Right.
Baffles me, the inappropriateness of that. But with this, even that, we know the boy that's going in there. Well, I trust my child. And those are the people that also come and visit us because it didn't work out. But you don't know who they're talking to. And the story after story after story after story, for instance, of the little girl in Kansas City who tried out for cheerleading and beat out one of last year's cheerleaders. And so that little cheerleader who got beat out went home and told her mom, and her mom started a Facebook relationship with the little girl who beat out her daughter. Her name was Melissa, and did this, developed this relationship, except the mom was a boy, on Facebook, and developed this personal relationship. And then all of a sudden, after they developed a relationship and built a relationship, this little boy who wasn't a boy, who was a 40-year-old mom, angry at this girl, started posting things on all the sexual things she'd done with this little girl. The little girl was so unbelievably freaked out that her mom found her. She hung herself in her closet. She could not go face the public again. Gosh. So how many of these stories do we have to hear from Dallas and from Kansas City and all these other places where everybody would say, you know, I knew that little girl cheerleader and she was a sweetheart. But we don't see the weapon coming at our children. Mm-hmm. And so we give them total access to their own texting, total access to their own Facebook, and don't even get the password, mm-hmm. and wonder, why are we surprised when we don't know who's targeting them?
We can remember growing up and not having these devices and being bullied around. So it's now, this is a whole other arena where they can be bullied around. Even in my husband's soccer team, the nicest little girl we found out was bullying another soccer player in the same team. And you want to talk about a little drama going on between the parents and the players, and you're thinking, what? All on Facebook and texting. You're thinking, my goodness.
They're children, yeah. And they're unsupervised children with an adult tool. Mm-hmm. And so I would not give my child a knife without saying the only time you can ever use that knife is in front of me. Why would I give my child this emotional, spiritual, sexual weapon? It makes absolutely, at least the knife, if he cuts himself, we can get stitches with this weapon. And yet what's happened is it's caught us so off guard at such a fast pace.
Yeah, yeah.
Where all of a sudden we first of all believe that our children, well, you know, I think my child needs a mobile phone for safety factor. Really? Yes. Well, I think he does because she does, because what if this is one of those schools that they lock down because there's somebody in there with a gun? So I want my child to have a phone at 4.5 years old or whatever it is. It's ridiculous how the age right now. But I think I want my child to have that. And since it's my child's, and I think it can be unsupervised because I trust my child. And then story after story. No, we need to set a plan. We need to get in there. Mm-hmm. There should never be a television in a child's room. There should never be a computer in a child's room until they're older in high school, when we've gone through the procedures. And the phone, the computer, everything need to be in a common space so we supervise this child. Whether you love and trust and you've got the greatest child on the planet, you have no idea who's going after the child. And if they're going to be on Facebook, and I don't see anything wrong with Facebook as long as I have the password. It's here. It's not going away. So I want to teach my child how to handle it. And I need to say to my child, you know what? I am not going to post anything that will embarrass you on Facebook, but I will have the password, mm-hmm. and I will have total access. And there will be times probably where I have to shut it down. When something inappropriate has happened and you don't come tell me, which tells me you obviously can't handle this, if you come get me right away and say, Mom, look what somebody's posted here on Facebook. Look what they've done here. How do I handle this? Look what this text I got. How do I handle this? Mom, I'm your son. Look at this text I got from this 9th grade girl. So I don't know what to do with it. I'm embarrassed to show it to you, Mom, but I need to know how to handle this. We need to be using this technology to teach our children, to prepare our children so they're ready to go out the door and use it rather than be used by it.
There's sort of even an etiquette that goes along with technology too. Times that you don't text back to your friend. There are bedtimes. There are times when you shouldn't be on the computer anyway, and we got to teach that. But that's only if you give yourself the platform to be able to teach it. But some parents, again, I just say that they give their kids full access. Their phones are better than their parents' phones. Just with and you think, okay, I've.
Why do you think that is? Why do
you? Well, it's so economical. Really, it's not that expensive to get your kid a really good phone.
So, but why would I get the interesting thing? When my son got ready to go off to college, he was off to college in his sophomore year. We decided to get him a car, and he was in the middle of nowhere in Upland, Indiana. And I finally realized, okay, you are at Taylor University, which I think is awesome, but you are in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to see a friend at a dealership who owns the dealership, and he's a friend. And he says, so you're looking at this little car for your son. Let me ask you a question. I sold you a car for your wife 3 years ago. Why would you not give the used car to your son and give your wife the better, newer car? And I was like, hello, you're exactly right. What am I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And even Rosemary says, oh, no, I want to give to Roby. No, this makes no, what statement is this?
Mm-hmm.
And so your statement that there are children that have better technology than the parents is such a pathetic statement. Give them your old phone and upgrade yours.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't care and you don't want to, it's a statement of honoring your parents
mm-hmm.
rather than a making this little princess have the whatever because of her peers. It's preparing them to deal with peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Make the statement.
And it's hard. I mean, I'm about to pose up some questions. What if you've got teenagers, you've given them the world, they have full freedom, and now you have to come back. You have to reel them back in. I know there are technical ways to do it, which, you know, if you really want to go extreme, you can just say, you know what, I'm taking off all data plan. Your phone is only good to call people.
Mm.
You know, I mean, there are phones to do it. There are plans to do it. It could be really cheap to add a $10 line to your family plan.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, if it's causing more problems giving them full access to the internet on that, buy one of those pay per minute and say you got to work for it.
I think you can, but I think I want to use the phone because the phone more than anything else is amazing power tool.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you used it. You made a statement about, you know, when to be on, when not to be on. I do think we need to help our kids unplug. They can't imagine being unplugged. They can't imagine missing something. They can't imagine not staying in the loop. And they're almost fearful to be out of the loop, where contact with the outside world is often more important to them than contact with the family. And they've gotten in such a habit. And there's so many families and parents that have allowed that to happen, where we come in and have a family meeting where I, as the parent, I'm going to set the example. I'm going to unplug. Mom's going to unplug. Before you all pass out, let me define what that means. We're putting all our phones there at this special docking station, and these are the hours where we're not allowed to use them when we're home. We are a family, and we're going to go back to being family. I'm so sorry I've made a mistake and not done this earlier. And I know, you know, you're 16 and you're 14, but as for me and my house, this is what we're doing, a new derivative of Joshua 24.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got to abide by it myself. It doesn't mean you can't go check every now and then, but you don't walk away. You unplug. We're preparing our children to be married and to know how to do this. We're preparing our children. I was in a staff meeting the other day when somebody else's staff, two staffs came together, and this 28, 29-year-old could not stop texting during the staff meeting. And after the staff meeting, I said to his superior, you know, we don't need him in this meeting. Well, he really wants to be. No, he doesn't. He needs to go put his phone back on somebody's desk if he's going to be here in this
mm-hmm.
meeting, because all of our time is valuable and he's insulting all of us. And it was kind of a revolutionary statement to this kid, but he got it. I want to teach them to unplug. If they can't unplug, that's when I unplug them. If they won't, if I find them not able to abide by the rules, that's when we cut back on technology.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would use the technology the discipline, because it's just a discipline.
Yeah, yeah.
I would use the technology to teach the impulse control. I would use the technology. My children, you know, we talked this week about reading. My children will never, ever read if they are so plugged into their technology. They can't imagine not playing the games. They can't imagine not texting back and forth. They can't imagine being unplugged. I think I would use that discipline of, if I find you doing this again, I have the phone. And if we can't get there, I will take you back to just minutes of conversation, nothing else,
mm-hmm.
in your personal device here. So I want to set the stage for teaching them to have to battle themselves. This is the rule. Now, here's the problem. Parents are afraid to do this because parents are afraid of their children, and parents are afraid of the war. And I can't imagine this. So let me give you a picture. What if all of a sudden you didn't realize it, but your children have evolved to the day where your daughter decided to go out the door without pants on? There she is going out the door at 15 in her underwear. And you're thinking, I know there's something wrong here. I just don't want to deal with the battle. That's ludicrous to you. That's ludicrous to imagine that to you. What if all of a sudden your daughter at 14 decided you have no options, I'm going to date a pimp? You would decide that's unacceptable. I'm not doing that. See, we have to believe that this is important.
Mm-hmm.
And once we believe this is important, we will lose a kidney over this one.
Mm-hmm.
We will do whatever it takes. So you have to back up and understand the why before you'll do the what. This is why I'm doing this. We need to be family. I need to help my child unplug. I need to help my child realize those people out there aren't more important than us. And I need to help my child know, if you've got to go someplace else to do this communication, then what is it you're doing that you don't want us to hear? Let's do it right here. And let's do Facebook right here. I need your password, or we're unplugging everything. This is important because there are people giving input into your child's life, and they're conforming to the pattern of their cyber world, Romans 12, rather than being trained to be godly children. We're giving them the discipline to make this decision on their own by using the device and the weapon of taking it away as an opportunity to teach them to unplug.
You've been listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm Ruthie J., your host, and we're going down this list of the 30 imperatives to parenting today, covering number 24, getting in your child's cyberspace. And actually, we have a two-week series on this one topic alone online. It's called Privacy Versus Protection. You can hear it at parentingonpurpose.org. To find out more about Dr. Bob Barnes and Sheridan House Family Ministries, the resources that you find online, all the proceeds go to help the children's home. So it all works together, and you can support the ministry by getting resources that help you out. That's online at shfm.org, short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. We hope you'll join us tomorrow as we continue our list of the 30 imperatives to parenting here on Parenting on Purpose.